bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today, my friends, we're going to be talking about humility and one of the challenges that we have as aviators. And, you know, the WINGS program, as we mentioned many times, is rooted in the Word of God and also in aviation analogies. And recently I watched the movie Flight, which highlights a captain who is out partying all night with one of the flight attendants. He's a cocaine addict. He is an alcoholic, a heavy drinker, and basically makes a decision to go to work in that condition. And so, you know, the movie's a great one because alcohol is an accepted drink. It's legal to buy alcohol. It's legal to have a drink. And you can drink as much as you want, you know. And the problem is we get into situations that will put us into compromising circumstances such as car accidents, DUIs, suspended licenses, revoked licenses. And one of our objectives in the WINGS program is to avoid all of those tragedies that come from utilizing alcohol, excuse me, and drugs in the wrong way. And this is important. So in the movie Flight, the captain is flying this aircraft under the influence of both alcohol and drugs. And unfortunately, there is an accident. And although it wasn't his fault, because the aircraft had some problems with it, and he was at the helm at the time of the accident, he was still under the influence of the drug of choice, which happened to be cocaine, and also the drink of choice, which is alcohol, beer. And so in aviation, you know, there's the federal law is that there's no drinking 8 hours prior to your time on duty. For some companies, they have a 24-hour rule, and other companies, no drinking at all on the overnights. But for this man, it took him a long time to admit that he had a problem. And he had a federal case in which he had to appear at this hearing before the National Transportation Safety Board, who investigated the accident, which killed six people. And there were 102 survivors. And in the film, during the lead portion of the actual video, this gentleman was on his way to the courtroom, and one of the union representatives asked him some questions, and the union rep tried to tell him how to respond to the questions. And he said to the union rep, "Don't tell me how to lie about my drinking. I've been lying all my life about my drinking. So don't tell me how to lie." And during the actual Inquisition, he was asked about the alcohol he had consumed during the flight, because in the wreckage they found three small bottles of vodka that had been opened and were empty in the trash. And he had a choice of admitting that he had consumed the vodka, or that one of the flight attendants on board had consumed it. And this happened to be the flight attendant that he spent the night with and was partying with. And when push came to shove, after a couple of minutes of delay during the testimony he gave, he made a command decision to be honest and to not put this violation on the flight attendant who had been killed in the accident. He could have been set free, but he couldn't live with himself. He had to tell the truth that he himself had consumed the three bottles of vodka on board the aircraft, and that he was drunk right now during the Inquisition, during the federal hearing. He was under the influence of alcohol and drugs because he had a problem. And he was sentenced to some years in prison. And during his stay in prison, he gave testimony to his brothers who were there as inmates in a seminar one day. And he said to them, he said, you know, for the first time in my life, I feel free. I had lied all my life about my drinking and use of drugs. But for the first time in my life, I feel totally free. And he was honest with them. And it took incarceration to get him to that level of humility once again, which is our focus for today. And I share this with you today, my friends, because when you put on a uniform, the captain's hat, you have four stripes, you have a lot of responsibility. And so there's a lot of confidence that is built up. There's some ego that goes into it. But we want to be, you know, clear that God calls us to a higher standard with humility. He says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And in the movie Flight, this captain is truly humbled by losing his job, his freedom, his friends. He had already lost part of his family. And one of the highlights of the movie is when his son, who's a teenager, comes to visit him while incarcerated. His son, who had disrespected him because his father had disrespected him many, many times as a divorced parent and as an alcoholic and drug addict. But he came to visit him, and he shared with him many things about his feelings. And the son saw him incarcerated in that uniform that inmates wear, and it's a humbling experience. So for the guy who was incarcerated in the movie Flight, the captain who became an inmate and lost his prestige, his power, his ego was now deflated. He had truly made a transition, a paradigm shift in how he thought. He went from lying all his life to becoming an honest man. And he changed his life through admission of guilt, through admission of a problem. And for those of us out there who have a drinking problem, those men and women who go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and get an opportunity to stand up there and say, "Good evening, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic," or to Narcotics Anonymous and stand up and give that testimony that I'm a cocaine addict, methamphetamine addict, a heroin addict, a fentanyl addict, an opiate addict, whatever the drug of choice is, God has given them the humility to attend a meeting and to give testimony about where they've been, where they're at, and where they are going, which is so important, all for the sake of helping other people to avoid the challenges, the struggles, the chaos, the devastation that they have endured through addiction and incarceration. So God calls us to a greater humility, both inside and outside prison walls. And we've had over 1,800 inmates come through the WINGS program in the last 10 years in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. I remember a private session I had with a drug dealer who was incarcerated and who shared with me privately that he doesn't have a high school diploma. He never got that. And he was a big-time drug dealer in North Philadelphia. And he said to me privately, "I can't get a GED here in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons because it would make me look weak." And he shared this with me. And he went on to serve two life sentences, which he was convicted for. And I just tell you that excuse me, that this gentleman is still serving time. He's serving two life sentences. But it takes a lot of humility to share private things. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And he went from being a very big drug dealer, making close to $35,000 a week, to incarceration for life. But he had the humility to help, and he helped me running the WINGS program, set me up with a seminar in his neighborhood at a community center where we had 24 people attend. And in attendance were his mother, his son and daughter, and other people, his sister. But 24 people came from the neighborhood, and it took a lot of humility for him to do that. But his heart was in the right place because God was working on the heart of a man in that moment. And he had a desire to be a wingman, to get information with God and what God says to do and what he says not to do. And in the WINGS program, we've shared many stories of many men, true stories, the lives of many. And you know, we had a court appearance one day for a man who was in prison awaiting sentencing. And he had run down a little girl in Philadelphia in a narrow street. And he was driving recklessly through the streets of Philadelphia. He didn't mean to run her down, but she came between two cars. And he ran her down. He dragged her for 75 feet, stripped her of her clothes, and broke the bones in her face. She was 8 years old. And today was a hearing that I was to represent him 4 years later in this case, because he had graduated the WINGS program. He had been eligible for a letter to the judge, which we provide to all of our inmates who graduate, and for a court appearance when possible. And so there I sat in the court awaiting this case, and behind me was the little girl who was run down, who was now 12 years old, and her mother was there as well. And her mother got into the witness stand first and was questioned, and she addressed the inmate who is now the defendant, and she said, "Why did you run my little baby girl down? Why didn't you stop?" And she was full of tears. And you could hear a pin drop in the courtroom, which was packed. And she went on to speak about her baby girl, who was in the courtroom now 4 years later. But she had eyesight problems from this injury, facial injuries, bodily injuries. And when she got off the stand, I said to myself, what am I doing here today? Because I felt terrible about what happened to the little girl. And then other witnesses came up, and I had a chance to speak on the defendant's behalf, who had graduated from the WINGS program, done a good job in the writing assignments, and now it was our turn. And when it was all over, the judge gave the defendant an opportunity to speak, and he read an apology to the court that went for about 2 minutes. And when we were done, the judge said, "You know, Mr. So-and-so, I've heard a lot of apologies in my courtroom over the last 25 to 30 years. But you show no remorse in your apology. And you have a record of driving on a suspended license several times. This is not the first time you've been here for this. And you have 2 infractions in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons." "No, Mr. Montone," he said, "I feel no obligation to reduce this man's sentence. And today I'm going to give him 7 to 16 years. And that's what he got. And I sat there and I said to God, you know, why am I here? And he basically spoke to me in my heart that I'm here to learn. And the experience of being with a man who had no humility in that courtroom, humility enough to stand up and face the mother and the daughter and say, 'I'm so sorry for what I did to you.' You don't need a script to write an apology. When it's from the heart, the mind will take over. God will help you. The Holy Spirit will drive it home to get up and stand up and say, 'Mrs. So-and-so, I'm so sorry that I didn't stop and I ran your little baby girl down. I made a big mistake, the biggest mistake of my life. Please forgive me. And when I come home, I promise that I will go to work and pay your daughter and you for your suffering for as long as I can. And I'm willing to sign a contract to that right now because I am so sorry for what I did on that night.'" And that, my friends, is the humility that God calls us to, a higher standard, a higher level, to heal the wound within the heart and mind and body, the physical body of the young girl who was run down 4 years ago. But very often that doesn't happen because people want a reduction in time, an early parole, a work release, a house arrest, a reduction in bail. They want that without doing the work, going the extra mile for the person who was offended, the victim of the situation. God calls you and I, my friends, to a higher standard in humility, to go the extra mile, to make amends, to set things right. And if it has to be that you work for years and give part of that salary to the woman you ran down, the woman you inflicted pain on, whatever the situation is, then God's will be done. This is how we get the higher levels of blessing in the courtroom with reductions in time. By giving the judge, the jury, a higher level of humility where we are believable. I remember in another courtroom, a guy who was in the Wings program who was hoping to come home early. And he was in the courtroom. His mother was there with me. And his mother got into the witness stand. And the judge said, "Mrs. So-and-so, do you visit your son in prison?" And she said, "Oh, yes, Your Honor, for many years. For many years, many visits. But he has to change because I'm tired. I am tired of going there. He's got to stop this and make changes." And when I heard her say this, it was so real. I could feel her pain. And when she was done, her son had come up into the witness stand after I had spoken and given testimony about his performance in the Wings program, his graduation certificate, the 50 hours and all writing assignments that were completed. And he gave up and gave a formal apology, first to the court and then to his mother. And he broke down in tears. And he had a lot of substance in the apology that was given to the court and to his family. And in the end, the judge said to him, "You know, you've been in my courtroom many times. I have never heard you speak quite that way. This Wings program must have had an impact on you. So today, I'm going to give you a break." And he reduced his time, and he came home within 4 months. He could have served many years, but he came home in 4 months because he showed the humility to the judge, to his family, and in the eyes of God, we were blessed with an early release. And this is what it takes to come home early. Because there's no magic pill, no magic word. We have to be believable in the courtroom to the judge, the jury, the families, the victims. And then we have to make changes. And that's where Wings come in, where we do a 50-hour, 10-week, 20-session program of substance with writing assignments that force you to be committed to what you say on paper, like a contract. Where will you be 1 year from today? 5 years from today? Letters of apology to the victim. Letters of appreciation to the family who's putting money on the books for you, who's visiting you week in and week out. Letters of support to the judge from wives who are standing by taking care of their children with no help financially for tuition, food, shoes, clothing, rent, electric. They're doing it on their own. They're working double time to make things work out. Today's show, my friends, is about humility within ourselves. God says those who humble themselves will be exalted. God will lift you up and make you the man or woman that you are called to be in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of our society, where we are made visible and become egotistical, prideful, territorial. In the eyes of God, He will lift us up, giving us a special blessing of obedience. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. Bless the fruit of your womb, your children. Bless you in your work, your education, in your home. This is where God will lift you up, where you will live a life of increase, where you are getting things in life and not a life of decrease, where you are losing things, like losing your freedom, losing your home, your bank account, your job, your children, your family. A life of increase is where you are getting things from God, blessings of obedience. You're getting a good woman who becomes your wife. You are blessed with a child or children. You are blessed with grandchildren. Blessed with a good job to provide necessities for your family. Where you are blessed with a home where you have space and privacy, where you can live for many years with your children, your grandchildren, and have events that bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of other people. My friends, today I challenge you, whether you're inside or outside prison walls or recovery homes, to lift up yourself, to be a better person, a more humble person, and bring more humility into the relationships where needed, wherever necessary. I challenge you to do it starting today. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day. God bless, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. God bless.